أكبر الله أكبر.
This is the world broadcast of Imam Warth Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to human dignity and justice. Now, Imam Warth Deen Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. We greet our honorable radio audience today with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, the greetings of peace, and the Quran in Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
I would like to begin today by bringing some terms to mind that we often use in name calling, and perhaps some of us are not aware of the proper use or proper application of these names or terms. We see many people who live the religion and I believe are sincere in the religion, referring to Christians generally. That is very broadly blanket condemnation of Christians, referring to them as kafirs, are rejecters of faith, are disbelievers. The word is translated in different ways by different translators. Different translations give it disbeliever, unbeliever, non-believer, rejecter of faith. Different ways they translate the word. And many say that the Christians are this word, kafir, in the language of the Quran, our holy book. So let us, for a few minutes, look at the word kafir. Kafir means one who rejects faith, that's true. One who rejects the guidance of God when it's brought to him, that's kafir, that's true. But we must understand that when Prophet Muhammad was missioned to be the prophet, he was in a society that was dominated by pagan Arabs, Christians, and Jews. And he preached this religion and invited all of them to this religion. And he called none of them kafirs when he was inviting them to this religion. So that tells us that you can't call a person kafir just because they believe in a different way. And again, in the Quran, in our holy book, Allah Most High, as God says, whoever believes and is a doer of good, he has his reward with his Lord. There is no fear for him, nor grief. Now, some of us may say, well, that means whoever believes in the Quran. No, it says, whether it be Sabian, that was a religious group from the vicinity of Arabia before the time of Prophet Muhammad, or Christian, or others, if they believe and do good. Now, some say, oh, that meant at that time. That doesn't go for the present time. At that time, that was so. If the people believed and did good, they were accepted. But after the religion of Al-Islam came, and if any rejected, then they are kafirs. All right, let us continue now. Also, the Quran refers to people of the book and also kafirs in the same context, making it very clear that there are people of Scripture and there are kafirs. There are people who follow Scripture other than Muslims and also kafirs. Let us go even farther now. In order for someone to be a kafir, he has to have an intent in his heart to reject what is right. He has to be a person that doesn't mean well. He has to be a person that's trying to cover up wrong. The very word kafir means to cover up as well as reject. So he rejects and he also covers up. He covers up, he hides the wrong and he rejects the right. He hides the truth and rejects the truth. He covers up the wrong and rejects the truth. He covers up his own wrong and rejects the truth. Then he covers up the truth and rejects the truth. So he's not just a rejecter, he's one who also hides or covers something, the one who's kafir. Now we know many people who claim to be of faith are indeed kafirs. They do that. And you will find them among people who call themselves Christians. Many of the Christians are kafirs. But to say Christians are kafirs, that's wrong. The pagans who rejected faith after it came to them, they became kafirs. Those who did it willfully, with wrong intention, with deceit in their hearts, they became kafirs. The Jews who reject in that way, they become kafirs. Whoever rejects in that way becomes a kafir. Kafir is a terrible person. Allah would not tell us the kafirs, you'll find them to be the nearest to you in faith. No, he would not tell us that of the kafirs. He told us that of the Christians. He said, among those people who call themselves Nasara, that is Christian, old name for Christian, Nazarenes, you'll find them to be the nearest to you in faith. And it goes on to describe them, how pious they are in their worship, how humble they are in their worship of God, how sincere they are in their prayers, how they shed tears often when they pray. So those are not kafirs. Those are good Christians. And they have not all gone from the earth since Prophet Muhammad. Many of them are still here, who are genuine in their religion. They believe in God. They want to be right. They feel they're on the right way. And if they feel that they're doing something wrong, they turn to God just like the good Muslim and ask forgiveness and seek a better way, just like the good Muslim. So we have to be very careful of these terms. So our community, that is, those of my friends, we don't call all Christian kafirs. We don't call all Jews kafirs. Allah says in the Quran, there's a party of the Jews who practice justice and the doing of right, while there's the other party of them who practice injustice and deceits. Allah tells us in the Quran. So should we say all the Jews are bad when Allah says in His Quran that there's a party of them that practice justice and the doing of good? No, we can't do that. We have to accept our Quran. This is our holy book. We have to accept it. We have to be aware that there are some people among us who belong to our religion that have lost sight, and they are only moved by the hurt, by the bitterness, by the discomfort in their own lives. And that caused them to not to see plainly what is right and what is wrong. So they are moved politically to get you to join them in a blanket condemnation of all Christians. So you will work against all Americans. You are not my friends if you join them. And I say my friends, because I don't like my enemies. No, I don't like my enemies. And no one else should like the enemy. Unless the enemy is good and you bad, then like the enemy. But if I'm trying to do good and someone's working against me, I don't like that person. Never like them until they repent fully. So, dear beloved Muslims, so much for the word kafir. Now let us look at another word, munafiq. Munafiq. Munafiq is translated in most books as a hypocrite. And we know the English term hypocrite. And some of us use that word loosely. Oh, he's a hypocrite. And we mean that he disappointed me. You know, maybe he's a good person, but since he disappointed me, he's a hypocrite. So let us understand how we have to use this word, munafiq. We have to be careful of using this word. This is another word. It's a very, very ugly word. A terrible person is munafiq. If any person is munafiq, they're a terrible person. And we want to dwell on this one a bit because this community have had a habit of calling people hypocrites. So let's see what is the hypocrite. Al-Munafiq. Allah says in the Quran, they have professed to believe with their mouths, but their hearts have not believed. Now, here is one identity, here is one description of a hypocrite. One who says with his mouth nice words about the religion. And he says, I believe in this religion. My book is the Quran. He says that with his mouth, but his heart is not saying that. That's a hypocrite. Now, who knows that hypocrite but Allah? We have to wait till that hypocrite manifests himself openly. He can be speaking with his mouth and his heart saying something differently, but as long as we don't see the evidence of that, we can't call him a hypocrite. Only Allah knows that hypocrite. So, let's go on now. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Surely the hypocrites are in the lowest depths of the fire. So they tell you their place is terrible. In the lowest depths of the fire. وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُمْ نَصِيرًا وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُمْ نَصِيرًا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا وَاعْتَصَمُوا بِاللَّهِ وَأَخْلَصُوا دِينَهُمْ لِلَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah says in the Quran, surely the hypocrites, the munafiq, surely they are in the lowest depths of the fire and will never find aid to victory except those who repent from their ways and do righteous deeds and join firmly unto Allah and make their religion pure and holy for Allah alone. For those are to be identified as believers. Now, if one even is a hypocrite, but he later repents and begins to practice righteous deeds and makes his religion holy for Allah, holding fast to Allah and making his religion holy for Allah, not worshiping foreign things or false things, adding false things into his religion, says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Those are to be identified as believers. Now, dear beloved people, if a hypocrite has a chance, what about a kafir? Here, the hypocrite has a chance. The door is open to him. If your heart changed, you want to change from this way, you change and begin to practice righteousness and hold fast to Allah, and you give your religion solely to him, not mixing up wrong things in it, then you're to be identified as believer. وَسَوْفَ يُعْطِي اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. And Allah indeed is going to give the believers a mighty reward. مَا يَفَعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَأَمَنْتُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. What concern does Allah have to punish you if you show gratitude and faith? And surely Allah has always been appreciative and all-knowing. So Allah says to us in the Quran very clearly here that Allah is not a God that's looking for an opportunity to punish somebody. Allah is the God that's looking for an opportunity to grace somebody, to do good by somebody. Allah is not inclined to punish. He's inclined to show mercy and to aid the individual. So the question is asked, what concern do you think God has to punish somebody if they show gratitude and faith? That means even after they've done wrong, if they repent and begin to show gratitude, show that they appreciate God and appreciate goodness and show faith, what right? Allah doesn't, that's the end of it. He doesn't want to punish, no more punishment. That finishes it. We make our own hell. We make the hell. We draw our own concept of hell. And then we name people to go there. And we tell the world how long they will stay there. We should follow what Allah says. Allah Most High says in Quran, Inna hadha lahuwa al-qasasul haqq. Wa ma min ilahin illa Allah. Allah says, highly praises He, the knower of everything, and has everything in His charge. Allah says in the Quran, surely this is the true account. Surely this is the true report. What is it talking about? The words of the Quran, the report that's given in the Quran about Jesus Christ, peace be on him. Inna Allaha lahuwal azizul hakim. Surely Allah is mighty and the wisest. Says this is the true report, and there is not a God except Allah. I was listening to a TV program the other day, and it was entertainment, but something very beautiful came out in the song. The song, I can't recall the words of it, but the message of the song was this: that every lover is looking for that one love. Not two, not three, for that one love. And Prophet Muhammad has said, peace and blessings be on him, that Allah has not given the human being two hearts. Allah says in the Quran, and Prophet Muhammad says too, that Allah has not given the human being two hearts. One heart. Let us go on. فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ بِالْمُفْسِدِينَ. And if they turn away from that, then surely Allah is most aware, or has all knowledge, of the corruptors. Now, look at the word that's used, bil mufsideen. What is this saying? It is saying that anyone who knowingly accepts more than one God is a corrupt person. Why would you want more than one God? That's not the nature of your heart. So if you want more than one God, and you're aware of what you're doing, what you're saying, then you are a corrupt person. All right, now you may say, well, Brother Imam, what about the Christians who believe in three gods and one Godhead? As long as they are confused on that confusing matter and are innocent, they're not guilty of this. But once they know clearly what they're saying, what they're believing, and still hold to that, they are corrupt people. Because no one would willingly and would knowingly have more than one God unless they have some deceit, some evil intent. They want to run from one God and hide under the other. And if you chase them with the other God, they want to run from that one and hide under the third. But the innocent heart knows one creator, knows one judge, one justice, one God. Further, Allah Most High says in the Quran, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالُوا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ أَلَّا نَعْبُدُ إِلَّا اللَّهَ وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا. Allah Most High says, O people of Scripture, who is this addressing? All of those who follow Scripture, the Scriptures that came to the Jews, the Scripture that came to the Christians, people of Scripture. Says, O you who follow Scripture, come and let us agree on terms respecting us mutually. Let's agree on something that respects me just as it respects you. Respects you just as it respects me. It doesn't slight you, it doesn't slight me. It doesn't offend me, it doesn't offend you. And what is that term of mutual respect? Let us go on. أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. that we worship none but Allah. Now that's the word in Arabic. In English, we worship none but the one God. وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا, and that we do not make a partner with him. Not any partner with him. That's the mutual terms of agreement. What Allah needs with a partner? I need a partner in my business because I can't run it as well alone. If I can run my business as well alone, I won't have a partner. I'm stupid if I take on partners and I don't need them. I take on a partner in my business because I think it's going to work better with the partner. Now, does Allah, does the one God, need to take on partners in the rule of the heavens and the earth? Why would he take on a partner? Is his rule insufficient? Is his rule inadequate that he needs to take on a partner to help him rule in the creation? One preacher told me, he said, the three in one is like water. See, there's snow, sleet, and hail. He said, but they are all water. And I said to myself, I didn't even reply to him. But I said to myself, what a terrible analogy. Even for his own idea, he picked a terrible description. Because water is subject to environmental conditions. and it freezes up because of coldness. I wanted to tell him you forgot steam. It boils too. I want a God that's going to turn the steam on me. Scripture doesn't say he changes up like that. Say the way is fixed from eternity. There is no change in the Lord. Now that's scripture. But they'll say, oh yes, in scripture say that he beget Jesus. And Jesus is Son of God, and one with God in the Godhead. Well, we know that story too. We're trying to find the truth among all the erroneous reports.
You've been listening to Imam Warth Deen Muhammad. Tune in next week at the same time and station for the world broadcast of Imam Warth Deen Muhammad Speaks, produced by the American Muslim Mission.